Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. Before we begin, another one of our Urbanite Radio stories, this time just an incredible story about men who are homeless, addicted, in prison, who now run marathons. And what does that have to do with anything? We're going to find out when we come back from WEA Traffic. Stay with us.
Support for WEAA is provided by Therogesic Pain Relieving Cream for arthritis, back pain, and muscle soreness.
JFX northbound delays North Avenue to Cold Spring. Update brought to you by Centrum Ultra Women's Multivitamin. In the median strip, 70 westbound after the Beltway for that crash. All lanes have cleared out. However, we do have backups to 695. Outer loop of the Beltway brake lights pairing Parkway to Green Spring Avenue and 795 to the Baltimore National Pike. With delays on the inner loop, 95 to Security, Park Heights to Lock Raven Boulevard. Heavy ride on northbound 95 Pulaski Highway to the Beltway. Crashes in the city, Calvert at Biddle and Gwynns Falls Parkway at Garrison Boulevard. At Arundel County, the accident, Fort Smallwood Road at Vera Drive. Centrum Ultra Women's scientifically advanced and specially formulated multivitamins just for women live complete. I'm Joanna Campbell with Baltimore Area Traffic.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Division of Transplantation, where patients' lives are enhanced by a renowned transplant program known for innovation and excellence in kidney, liver, and pancreas transplants. For more information, call 1-800-492-5538. Now, we have, as you know, every month with our print partners, the Urbanite, Urbanite Radio Stories, where we either take some of the stories that we've that come out of the Urbanite and turn them into interviews on the air, or we turn them into small documentaries or pre-recorded stories that we do. And we're doing that again this hour. This is one of our Urbanite Radio stories found in this month's issue, which is entitled When Shoppers Ruled the World, the Past, Present, and Future of American Consumerism. But this really doesn't have much to do with consumerism. Well, maybe it does a little bit. It has some inklings to it. The story is called Running for Their Lives, written by Amy Reinick. This is a story about an innovative self-help program where people who are formerly homeless, addicted, done time in prison, are running marathons. We can talk about all that means. One of the centerpieces of the article was Arnold Shipman, who is also a former high school track athlete and a veteran. His heroin addiction led him to numerous arrests before he got involved with Back on My Feet and began running again. And the woman who is his running partner is in the studio with us, Lauren Lake, who is a student at the University of Baltimore. Good to have you both with us.
Thank you.
Also in this article, Michael Tate. He's a former high school track athlete, also a veteran, who began running with Back on My Feet after years fighting an alcohol and drug addiction, which included going to prison for robbery and being homeless. And a lot of people in our society go to jail for just being homeless many times. And Jackie Tronsolito is with us, who is the Baltimore Program Director of Back on My Feet, excuse me. And good to have you all in the studio as well.
Thank you.
Welcome. 410-319-8888 is the number here to join in on this conversation. I guess since you're the official here, Jackie.
I don't know about that.
Wait, I mean, you're the program director for Back on My Feet. Before we leap into the stories, give our listeners a little background on Back on My Feet and what it is.
Sure. It's very basically, it's a nonprofit organization that promotes the self-sufficiency of Baltimore's homeless through running. So we launched here in March, this past March. So tomorrow's our nine-month anniversary. So we're still fairly new. But we run with Christopher's Place, McVet helping up, and Baltimore Station right now, so four teams. And we basically—
Baltimore Station has a team?
Yes.
Well, they're going to be on the show tomorrow night. Woody Curry is— I know he's not running a marathon, knowing Woody, but he's he'll be on the show tomorrow night, yeah.
Yep, we've got a team from there.
Thursday night, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, we currently, you know, pull members from the facilities that we run with, and there's also non-residential members that come from all around Baltimore, and— we meet out 5:30 in the morning, and you know, we just become a team. You know, it really doesn't matter where you come from or where you've been. Everyone has their own story, but when you get out there in the morning and you lace up your shoes, you're a team member.
So, this started in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and the woman who started this was reading the article, was going to go and take a big job at a PR firm,
yes.
but ended up doing this instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she She was training for a marathon, and she would run by this shelter every morning, and she would kind of talk with them, and they'd banter back and forth. And, you know, one day she kind of stopped in the middle of the street and was like, hey, why don't you guys come and run with me? And they said, okay, all right, we will. And so she went and she, you know, petitioned the director of the shelter and said, hey, I'd like to put a running club together here. And, you know, with a little skepticism, he said, okay, give it a shot. I don't think you're going to find anyone who's going to want to run. You know, she got 8 or 9 guys and just started working, started putting the team together. And it's now they've grown to about 8 teams in Philadelphia. And then Baltimore's our first expansion. So we've got 4 teams here. They're launching in D.C. In March and in May.
Wow. So let me turn to Arnold Shipman and Michael Tate. And just, I mean, talk about, we're going to get some background stuff and more about who you are and where you came from. What, I mean, it's just how your own story is about how you started running. I mean, it's like, it's not a contradiction, but obviously it's very strange to hear about a guy who's spent time in prison fighting addiction, been homeless, starts running. So tell us how that happened.
Well, I remember running a long time ago, and I felt good running. So
this is when you were a teenager.
Right.
Right.
So I said, well, I felt good then. Maybe I feel good this time. And, you know, I started working out, and, you know, the running team came back when my feet came. Now, I'm going to say the first couple of weeks wasn't all that fun, you know, because I hadn't run in a long time. But after that, after I got used to, you know, running with him, it's fantastic. I just love it. Yeah, just love it.
How about
For me, I ran track and field since I was in junior high school, running team in San Jose, California, where I lived at. And I promised myself I would never run again in my life because I ran so many years. But I came to McVet's, and I used to hear all this noise in the morning. And at first it was irritating. I used to look out the window. They said, and the first thing that, you know, the people said, hey, there's girls out there. So I looked out the window. saw all the girls.
Make a man get up and look out
and
the window,
like,
right?
And so I waited about another week or two, and I don't know. I went out there to run with them. Really, I went out there to check it out and see what was going on because they said it was running. But since I told myself I was never going to, because I hated running. And the people from McVet's, Arnold, you know, there was a few guys, Terrell, they were out there running, and I decided to run with them. And like Arnold said, I was hurting. You know, I'm 48 years old and trying to run a mile. I was out of breath halfway through. But, you know, Jackie, she's our fearless leader. She's real modest. And Lauren, Arnold's running partner. Dee, her mother, is my running partner. She's not here, unfortunately.
Your mother is his running partner?
Yeah.
Yes. And so, but I'm addicted to running now. I mean, I love it. I mean, if I don't run, I don't feel really
better than being addicted to heroin.
Yeah, better than being addicted to the drugs, yeah.
So tell us about your part in this, Lauren. Like, I mean, you're Arnold Shipman's running partner. What does that mean?
We trained together, and we would do the long runs together. We had a similar kind of pace, similar marathon. It was our first marathon. I had run the half the year before, and at the end, I felt great. I felt that I could have gone out and gone another 13 miles, but I was definitely disappointed that it was over, and I wish that there had been more after going over that finish line. And when he expressed interest, I was ready to go with him and do whatever he wanted to do.
I'm going to explore some of this in greater depth, but a couple of people called in. I'd like to get some phone calls just early. We're talking about and a really incredible program that's come to Baltimore, Back on My Feet, that was in featured in this month's Urbanite magazine. We're talking with four of the people involved in that program. Men, any women in this program? All men so far?
There's 2 women currently.
Good.
There's been, I guess, 3 total since we've started. So actually, McVet is the only team that has women that run with us.
And these men who and women who are formerly homeless, formerly addicted, some of them, and formerly incarcerated. One of the ways they find their way back to the world is running. And we're talking about that. 410-319-8888. Ken, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Ken.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Running, even for those of us who are in shape, takes a good deal of toll on your body. And it's also a fairly introspective sport that you get a lot of time to spend inside your own head when you're running, especially if you're running distances and marathons. So I'm really curious from their perspective now that they've started running again, after many years maybe, but what they've experienced from a physical point of view. I mean, is their feet, their legs, their arms, is it really something that's been draining for them to try to get back in shape for, and how do they deal with that long introspection, especially if they're going to run a marathon, their own thoughts?
Two different questions, but they're related. And let me turn to Michael Tate first, because you were nodding your head as he was making his comment.
Oh, I was nodding my head. Thanks for the question. Difficult. I mean, it was difficult for me. You know, I want to say that running with back on my feet, you know, we have the 9 residents that run with us, and they're the inspiration for me. They were an inspiration for me, I know, because when we run, they never leave you alone. They're always there with you to motivate you. If you want to walk, then they walk with you. But they walked with me and ran with me until I could run on my own, because my first goal was just to finish when I first started. My second goal was not to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And now my third goal is just to finish all the races. But if it wasn't for the 9 residents, Jackie, Lauren, her mom, her brother, it's a family affair for them, and the other 9 residents, Teresa, Jen, Maya, I'm trying to name all of them, then I probably would have quit a long time ago. But they inspire us to come out and keep running, you know, with their encouragement and inspiration.
Arnold?
On the pain piece, me being 50 years old, and it's been a long time since I ran, I've been pretty lucky. I mean, I experienced runner's knee, you know, a little pain in the knee when I first started. But, you know, surprisingly, it went away. You know, I kept running, and it went away. So I'm saying this 50-year-old boy more years to run. I'm keep it going.
Well, what about what he said about the introspection of running? I mean,
it's definitely mental. I mean, you know, like he said, it's definitely, you know, a mental for me, because, I just learned that my body will do what my mind tells it to do. And I just have to, when I run, I just know that I can finish. So, you know, we run with somebody, we usually have a conversation about something, and it takes our mind off of running. And you know, it's just, it's a battle. I mean, we battle drugs and alcohol and the outside world.
Every day.
And
right.
This is something positive for me, so I have to battle to stay a regular member of society now, and that's what running helps me do.
It's a battle.
Yeah.
It's a battle. Marlon? What about the introspection part for you?
Well, again, I just remembered how much fun I had when I ran. Actually, right up the street at Northern High School. I just loved running. And when I heard about, I saw the Runner's World article, and when I heard that they was coming to Baltimore and, you know, McVets, I just wanted to get back in shape.
Now, what's McVets? I'm sorry, let me digress.
McVets is the Maryland Center for Veterans Education and Training.
Okay.
You know, all of us there are veterans, you know, men and women. Mm-hmm. And when I heard they were coming to McVets, I just knew that was for me. And then, you know, I said that the name kind of caught my ear also, back on my feet. And that's why I was at McVets, to get back on my feet. So, you know, I was knocking out 2 birds with 1 stone. I just had to run again.
Hey, because I want to come back to your own personal stories and the stories of other men and women, and to be emblematic of your stories. I mean, one of the things when he was asking that question, made me think of, like, there are certain traditions in this world that where running is like a spiritual path. You know, it's like if you go to the Hopi Nation down in Arizona, I mean, for the Hopi, running is part of a world. It's not like something you do for a race. They probably have the greatest runners in the world, but they never win a race because they don't think about running a race. They just their running is for its spiritual wholeness, and they just run everywhere. So there's that component to it. Do you find that at all when you run?
I do. I actually find myself, you know, running the meetings, you know, running wherever I go. So,
right.
Even up and down the steps. So it's good. It's therapeutic for me.
Yeah,
it is for me.
It can change a mindset.
Yeah, for me, running is, it's like freeing myself. I mean, because I'm running against myself. You know, I'm pushing myself to go to another level. There's nobody out there but me when I'm running. I mean, even though I'm running with partners, we still have to be inside our own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And to push ourselves to keep going, you know, I guess you can say it's almost spiritual because, you know, when I first ran my first 5 miles on a Saturday, I guess I had that runner's high they talked about, where I felt like I could run like 25 more miles. And they said, oh. I was like, man, I feel like so high. And they said, well, you can probably run again. I said, I don't know. I want to run 20 minutes. I said, that's a runner's high. Don't worry. It'll go away. 20 minutes later, my knees were hurting.
So let me ask you all a question, Lauren Lake and Jackie Trinsolito. The question is, why are a bunch of white kids going into a place which is mostly African-American men and women struggling from the inner city to get out? Tell me about that connection. Do you know what I'm saying? So what are you doing there? People would ask. Tell us. What?
I had run cross country in high school, and my mom had read about it in the Sun. There was an article, and she went to one of the orientation meetings and told me that it was something that I should look into and I should get involved in. So we went one Saturday, and you have everybody there. They're just smiling, happy. You get lots of hugs, probably more than you've ever had in your whole life, because everybody wants to hug you, and they'll probably hug you more than once even. And you have high fives going around, and it just makes you feel so good to be there.
That's good reason. Jackie?
I think it allows people's paths to cross who you wouldn't ordinarily meet. I think, when you go down and you meet with the guys, the residential members, you kind of have this common language, this common passion for running. And so it's not just about, hey, I'm going to go and work at McVets, but it's, hey, I'm going to go and run with my team. It's no longer about, helping or volunteering like a lot of people think it is, but you go out and you find a team. And I think that's what brings people back. That's what brings people out to come and run, because, it's a positive environment. It's a positive atmosphere.
For you.
Yeah. And for everyone there, we work really hard to create it.
So what I'm curious about this part of what I'm curious about with the four of you in the room right now and how this program works is the crossing of those bridges. We're in a society for the most part, unfortunately, I think, from my perspective, very separated. Black world very rarely touches white worlds, and white world doesn't touch non-white worlds in America, and they're very separate. And then you've got this thing coming together, especially with young women coming into it. That's a very unique and different kind of thing. So I'm just curious about what that interaction is like, what it does for, what do you think it says about all of you and about your own lives?
It doesn't really matter. You go out there running with anybody and you have people going, hey, get out of the street, there's a car coming. And it doesn't matter who yells it or anything like that. We all look out for each other, and it doesn't really matter who you are necessarily. Arnold and I, we joke around. I call him Dad, and he says that I'm his daughter to everybody.
That's true.
Arnold?
I never thought about that. I grew up in this neighborhood 30-something years ago. I went to Northern 30-something years ago, and it was a mixed school then.
It was mixed back then, I remember.
Right, yep, yep, so yep. I never looked at it like that. All I knew was they wanted to run, I wanted to run. That's the way I looked at it.
Michael?
I'm like the big joker on the team. I'm always cracking jokes.
I thought so. You had the look on your face.
Yeah. But I think a lot, and I probably don't show it as much because I guess that's one of my, masks, I guess. But I look around sometimes at everybody. And, the first thing, I used to think, well, they look at us as homeless, drug addicts, people from a shelter. And that was what, my thoughts were that it was going to be like. But it's not like that at all. They look at us, like Jackie said, as teammates. Mm. We're people just like they are. They don't show us any difference than how they show each other. We had to earn their respect, it just shows that through running, back on my head, we can change our lives. They're a big help for me as far as changing my life in a positive direction. So, my behavior's changed 100%, and it's due to being at McVets and running. I look forward to running when we had a races now. I remember the first 5K we ran, it was like 3.2 miles. I'm like, 3.2 miles, they're crazy. But, they don't look at us like the average drug addict, because we're in recovery. All of us are in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And part of recovery is changing your behavior, changing people, places, and things. And by running with them, we have changed the people and the places and a lot of the things, too.
Let's go back to the phones at 410-319-8888. And Kay, you're on the air.
I'm a 41-year-old first-time marathoner. I did Baltimore City this year as well.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And it was so wonderful with all the training and planning and preparation and finishing. But I found that the hardest part for me was the week when I had to get back to running after the marathon ended. Not having that big goal in front of me took away some of my motivation. I'd love to hear from the trainers, how do they keep the runners motivated after the race has ended, and also from the runners, how do you motivate yourself to get back on the track when you have run the 26.2 or the 5K or the 10K and the race has ended? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Good question. Which trainer wants to go first? Jackie, go ahead.
Sure. I think for all of us, the marathon was a big highlight, was a big goal, and something that was, there's a big buildup to getting there. But you know, even beyond that, we still had goals. You know, just because we ran the marathon didn't mean that was the end and we had reached our goal. We're still running. We're still out there in the mornings. You know, we had races beyond that. We have goals beyond that as far as school or jobs. You know, there's always big. So it was kind of just a step along the way, you know, if you keep your sights set high. And we actually have another race coming up this weekend. So there's always something on the horizon.
You still also have that commitment to your team. I know that a big thing Monday morning after the marathon was just knowing that everybody else was going to be out there. We did a group mile, and you could tell that some people were really hurting, other people not quite so much, depending on the different distances and how they had trained for it or just how hard they had run. And when you have everybody together and you're able to see them all together like that, you have to go out there and run. You really can't stop.
Do you all do this every day? Do you run right after a marathon? Do you run every day?
4 days a week. We run Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, and then we have our long runs on Saturdays. But back to that question, for me, after the race, you know, I had like a runner's high, even though I could hardly make it up the steps, you know, because my legs were killing me. I couldn't wait until the next race. I just couldn't. And like Lauren said, we came out there that Monday, and everybody was hurting. But we still got through it. You know, Wednesday came and we got through a little bit more. And, you know, now we're having another race Saturday. I mean, they had the Marine Corps Marathon almost right after the Baltimore Marathon. And I wanted to run in that, but, you know, my body didn't want to run in that. My mind wanted to run it, but my body didn't want to run it. So, yeah, it's just the running's high that makes you want to keep on going.
My motivation is, the team. But Arnold's part of my motivation, too. I mean, he's a stronger runner than I am. Even though he's older, so I'm hoping by the time I get 50, I'll be running like him now. But, you know, I was in pain. I ran a half marathon with Lauren's mother, Dee, and her brother. But I was still in pain because I've been having knee problems for a while. But motivation for me is seeing everybody else get up. I mean, if one person gets up from a vet, then all of us have to get up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, oh, he's getting up, so I'm getting up too.
Right.
I don't care if they had to wheel me out there. So, and plus, you know, they're out there. I mean, they come from their own houses and their jobs at 5 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. So they're taking time out of their life for us. So we have to be committed and take time out of our doing nothing for them.
I'm sure you're doing something for them. I mean, people just don't do things because it feels good.
That's why they do it.
That can be a part of it.
But I think there's a lot to be said for building a team and being part of it. You know, I think, you know, going back to your question before, there is a lot of stereotypes around people who are in shelters, people who are homeless, people who are addicts. And I guarantee you, you're welcome to come out with us any morning. I invite you, open invitation.
Right.
But you could walk up to McVet and you couldn't tell who was an addict, who was living at McVet, who wasn't living at McVet. You know, we're a team, and when we get out there in the morning, that's what brings people out. If you're tired, if you're hurting, you know that your team's going to be out there, and you know your team's going to be counting on you, and so you get out. And it doesn't matter if your teammate is somebody who's been in prison or your teammate is someone who has four houses. You know, that's your teammate. And when you get out there running, the miles hurt the same no matter who you are, you know.
So, have you both run marathons?
I run a half marathon.
You run a half marathon.
This was my first marathon.
It's your first marathon.
Right.
So when's the next one?
When's the next marathon coming up? That's the next one. I have a half marathon coming up.
This spring, we'll probably do a half marathon in January, and then we'll do another running festival.
I mean, even a half is a lot. I mean, it's 13, what?
13. 13.
Point one.
Yeah, it's a lot.
For me. It's a lot for me. Most people. Anybody. Almost anybody. 13 miles?
Yeah.
That's a lot of running. I mean, and how long have you two been running?
We've been running together since March.
Yeah.
The team. And I just want to say that I never took 6.2 miles. Never thought I could do that. You know, I kind of like, once I did 20 miles, oh, it was like, bring it on. You know, do that.
The way the article described the two of you, Arnold Shipman and Lauren Lake, when you ran that marathon, that was a pretty moving experience, not a very emotional experience, between the two of you running and you having to, Arnold's walk and stop and Lauren not wanting to move on without you. That sounded like you went through a very deep experience at that moment.
Yeah, I did.
The way it was described in words.
I kept telling her to go ahead. You know, it looked like she wanted to cry. Luckily, another teammate came by, and I was like, run with Vanessa. And, you know, I was able to get back in there. I saw another teammate. You know, I ran with them. We got to Lake Montebello, and I saw Kate. So I knew that I was only a mile behind her because Lake Montebello's a mile around. And it just motivated me to keep on going. And, you know, I was able to catch up with the five-hour crew, so I really felt good about that. You know, I just knew I was going to finish. You know, I told my daughter, Lauren, don't worry, I'm going to finish.
That's what I was talking about.
Don't worry, I'm going to finish. And, you know, I finished my first marathon. I'm ready for the next one so I can improve my time from this one.
It's like, it doesn't matter. It's a PR no matter what this time because you've never done it before.
Right.
So what was going on for you in that moment?
I mean, I really had the conflict of myself, like, because I really didn't want to leave, and at the same time, I could tell that he felt just as horrible, mm-hmm. that he wasn't necessarily having a good day. I mean, you have good days and you have bad days,
right.
And you have no control over that, and I know he felt like he was kind of strained from our set plan where we were thinking probably of doing about 9-minute miles,
right.
And we'd been training for it, and we'd had a 20-mile training run only maybe 3 weeks before,
mm-hmm.
and it'd been great if only that had actually been the day, but you win some, you lose some, and it hurt, like, to not be able to finish with him, but I know that we'll have our half that we'll run together, and I'm not leaving him this time.
Right.
He should be able to do 13 miles, no problem.
We're talking this hour, one of our Urbanite radio stories. The story is called Running for Their Lives. It's about a really exceptional program, really unique, actually, called Back on My Feet, which were men and women in the city who, many of them were veterans, who have served time in prison, many of them addicted, struggling to get back on their own feet, part of a program which is literally about running. And the younger people from this community who come in to work in that program and are creating a new world and a new team to run with. We're talking about all that this hour and more. We're going to come back and explore this in greater depth and to talk about these men's lives and the lives of the women who are in the room with them now. You can join us here at 410-319-8888. Our guests are Jackie Tronsolito, who is the program director for Back on My Feet, and Lauren Lake, University of Baltimore student and Arnold Shipman's running partner, and Michael Tate, who is in the program as well, whose running partner is Lauren Lake's mother. So all that's a family affair. 410-319-8888. We'll be right back to take your calls. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Stop by one of its 7 branches or go to mecu.com for more information. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome to another one of our Urbanite Radio Stories. Isn't this part of me of the Urbanite? This Urbanite is called When Shoppers Ruled the World, the Past, Present, and Future of American Consumerism. And one of the major feature stories in the article is called Running for Their Lives. And it's about a program that in this town of Philadelphia called Back on My Feet. And it features, in the beginning of the story, in the main part of the story, Arnold Shipman, one of our guests, a homeless former heroin addict, who's participating in this program. And the road to recovery in this program is that 26 two-mile-long marathon that people run. He's in the studio with us, along with Lauren Lake, who's his running partner, and a student at the University of Baltimore, right? Is that right?
Yep.
Michael Tate is a former high school track athlete as well, and he's also a veteran who began running with Back on My Feet after years of fighting his addictions, and included going to prison. And Jackie Troncelito is with us, who's the Baltimore Program Director for Back on My Feet. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We'll get to these calls coming in just a minute. 410-319-8888. But you said during the break, something kind of funny, Jackie, you want to make sure that it's, and here we are, you know, two white girls talking about this stuff. And actually, the people who come to work in this program are really diverse and age-wise and everywhere else. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I just told you.
Yeah, and we welcome anyone to come out. I mean, runner or not, we've got people who started running with Back on My Feet. We have elite athletes that come out and run with us, and you know, they're anywhere from 7 to 70. You know, a variety of ages and sizes and talents, and not necessarily, you know, it's that divide is not necessarily white and black either. You know,
right.
There's definitely a diverse mix of everybody that comes out to run with us in the mornings.
I mean, runners come in all shades. And ages, and so do addicts, and people who are homeless, and
absolutely.
People in the joint. They come in all all varieties and places. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We'll get to these. Oh, I'll come back to my other questions. Susama, you're on the air. Susama, you're there? You're welcome. You're on the air. Things need to be potted up, maybe? All right, well, Susama, don't hang up. We'll get you on here. 410-319-8888. To join the conversation. Before, let me turn to our guest here again. And I think it'd be important to kind of hear about the two of you. I mean, what you came through and from to get to where you are now. I mean, everybody has a story. And there are so many men and women who have come through these places and come out on the other side. So tell us. Let's start with Arnold and go over to Michael. Tell us about you.
Again, you know, I grew up in this neighborhood right around Morgan State University. I was a straight-laced kid, you know, I cut grass, I had a paper route. I joined the Air Force at 17. It was when I came home from the Air Force, you know, is when the trouble started. Main streets of Baltimore, you know, lured me right in, just like it's done countless other guys. You know, I saw the money that was being made, the addictions that were out there. Heroin was my drug of choice, you know. It's just a devastating drug. You know, I had to resort to selling heroin to support the drug use of heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And that lasted for a long time, 20, 25 years. And, you know, luckily me going to prison a lot, you know, afforded me an opportunity to go to McVet's. And, you know, that's where my life changed. And then when Back on My Feet came, you know, I just knew that was for me. So, you know, just, you know, being around a bunch of people that's doing something positive, you know, doing what I want to do, you know, motivates me to keep going. So
was it the program, or was it something that started in you and the program just helped kick it up even higher in terms of trying to find a new way to live?
Well, I think if it wasn't for McVet's, I might still be out there using and selling drugs. It's just that Back on My Feet was like it afforded me a chance to meet, you know, new people that was interested in the same things I was interested in. So, you know, that's why it works for me. You know, we're all doing what we love. You know I love to run. I know Lauren, definitely Jackie loves to run. She had mentioned that, you know, she's an elite runner, but, you know, I just want to run. I tell everybody all I want to do is just run. You know, that's what I want to do.
Michael Tate.
I mean, first I want to thank the Colonel Williams, Dr. Pierce, my case manager, Ms. Bryant. Well, same case manager, Ms. Bryant. I'm from Philadelphia, where I started, and I started running track. We moved to Hampton, Virginia. I started running track there, and we moved to California. And I don't know, I think something happened to me in between Hampton and California, because I had all my plans as a, you know, teenager figured out I was going to go to Hampton High. I was going to go to Hampton Institute. They call it Hampton University now.
Right.
And we just upped and moved to California. So I think in between California and Hampton, something happened to my, I guess, insides where I was disappointed. So by the time we got to California, I kept running track, and I was good. I mean, I got like 60 scholarships to other colleges and stuff, but I decided to join the military instead. And I think that was part of my addiction, trying to find something inside of me, which mm-hmm. is what they call it. And I mean, I never drank, never did drugs. I was just an athlete, football, basketball, and track. When I went to the military, I started drinking, smoking, and I left the military and just went crazy. I started selling drugs for a while, and then I started using drugs. And while using, I mean, I don't know if anybody really knows about the addiction process, but by using the drugs and alcohol, they turned me into somebody I didn't want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I started using, I needed more money, so I started doing the robberies. I was a drug addict. I was useless to society, actually. And so I had heard about McVett before, but all I heard about was 1st Platoon. As a 1st Platoon, in Arnold, we're in 1st Platoon together. And 1st Platoon is kind of like military boot camp. And our platoon leader was an ex-Marine named Mr. Sanders, and he showed that he was an ex-Marine. I mean, the screaming, and I mean, which was good for me. I mean, I'm sure it was good for Arnold because, I mean, God only gives us what we need. Right. When he felt like getting up before, we got it before. If he felt like going to bed at 12, we went to bed at 12. So McVett's really really helped change my life around. And I think if it wasn't for back on my feet, you know, filling in a gap, you know, because me using, there was something to do. So back on my feet really helps fill in the gap for me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it takes it makes me want, I mean, I want to be like them, you know. I mean, I'm a recovering addict, and they're good citizens of society, and I want to be like them. Really, they're my inspiration besides running. I mean, they have their careers. I mean, they don't have jobs, they have careers.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't tell them this, which I probably should have because I joke so much, but, I mean, I'm proud of them, and they're my inspiration. Arnold and I, we're in college now.
Mm-hmm. Where do you go to school?
Because of them. I go to Baltimore City Community College and
CCBC Essex.
He goes to CCBC, and you know, they help us with school too. They got us laptops. I mean, there's a lot of incentives for running with back of my feet besides just running in the races. And they got us laptops so we can do our homework on, we can do our studying on, and you know, it's a positive program. I mean, the running is the most beneficial part of it, and you know, I run T-shirts and the medals. Every race, I have a locker full of T-shirts that I hung up, and I like running to get the T-shirts and the medal personally.
That's great. So I think it was Arnold Shipman said that Jackie Truncito, you were an elite runner. What does that mean?
Expound on that, Jackie.
I ran in college. I ran high school, and it's just something that I continue to pursue somewhat competitively, I suppose.
Somewhat competitively?
Sure.
So you run marathons?
I do.
And how many have you run?
6, 7, somewhere around there.
And how about you?
I've only done the one.
One's plenty.
Yes.
But you plan on doing more?
Yeah. I'm signed up to do Philly next November, and ultimately my goal is to be a 50-stater by the time I'm 50.
Not a bad goal at all.
Exactly.
410-319-8888 as we talk with folks from Back on My Feet, one of our Urbanite Radio stories, and Dee, you're on the air.
Hello, everybody. I just wanted to tell Arnold and Tate that I'm very proud of you and honored to run with you as often as I can.
So someone just snitched on you. You're Lauren's mother.
I am Lauren's mother.
So since she hung up, I was going to ask her a question. She's gone. Okay. Are you there? She's gone. All right. Let me just call back. So I was going to ask about her involvement in the program. 410-319-8888. Dee, if you call back, we'll get you right back on. I'll ask the question I was going to ask you. So, I mean, how large can a program like this really go? I mean, what do you think this program can? What can it do in this town? What can it become in this town?
Beyond this town, I know we're looking to go national, international. You know, like, it's something that it works. A lot of people criticize it and say, you know, aren't you replacing one addiction with another? Or, you know, what can running really do? But it's something like Tate said, it's something that fills in the gaps. You know, it's more than just running that we do out there. You know, there's a sense of confidence. There's a sense of self-satisfaction that you get just from running and putting one foot in front of the next. You know, it's a metaphor for anything that you do in life. And so it's not just something that can take place here in Baltimore, can take place anywhere.
Dee is called back. Let's get her on the air.
Dee.
Hi, Dee, you back?
Hello.
Hi. So tell us about your partnership with Michael Tate and your running is what I was going to ask you.
I don't know. I guess we just started running in June, and together on Saturdays we had a similar pace time. And when and we seem to get injured together at the same time, it helps us out a lot. So we spent a lot of time running a little bit slower paces, running, you know, to recuperate. And so when the half came along, we decided since we were pretty close to the same pace, we would take that on together. And it worked out beautifully. It was a wonderful race, and I'm extremely proud that he stuck with it and completed the race with us.
So have you been running for a long time?
No, I haven't been running for a long time. I've run off and on the last couple of years, and just actually really started running competitively about 2 years ago when some family members decided that the girl should run a half marathon, and we did.
That was my cousin, and she didn't even end up running.
But you and your mom ran.
Yeah, and so did my aunt.
Dee, thanks so much. Glad you got back. I just want to get those things out, and thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, no, I have to thank the guys. They are amazing, amazing guys to run with, and I love every minute of it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So what happens when you go back to, what do the other men say to you guys about the program you're in? Because everybody is not doing it. So what happens back there?
We get new members every month. We have new member meetings. You know, everybody wants to join. Unfortunately, you know, we can only have so many people on the team, and there's like a waiting list, you know. They see how, you know, me and Tate are, and, you know, naturally want to be the same way as far as, you know, the camaraderie of, you know, us meeting in the mornings. I mean, you meet people every day. Even while we're running 5:30 in the morning, we meet the same people going to work, and, you know, they wave at us, you know, they say keep it going, you know. You'd just be surprised. You know, I have a little saying where, you know, that's fantastic. People look for that word. I mean, on the street, as we're running, people waiting for the bus to go to work. You know, once they get that, they're on their way to work.
For me, I'm proud to be back on my feet, but I'm also proud to be at McVets. And I know that we represent everybody at McVets. There's people there that are have disabilities. There's people there that never were athletes before. So, I mean, I think that we represent all of McVets when we run. You know, that's where we live at. That's who has given us the opportunity to run with Back on My Feet. And so, they're proud of us. A lot of them, you know, they joke with us and laugh at us about being out there 5 in the morning. But I really, deep down in their heart, I know that they're proud of us, and they're proud of them. And, you know, we represent Back on My Feet. If it wasn't for Back on My Feet, who knows where we'd be at right now. I mean, like I said, they're a motivation for me. I'm sure they're motivation for Arnold, too.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go back to the phones, 410-319-8888. I should talk with folks from Back on My Feet, featured in this month's Urbanite magazine, one of our Urbanite radio stories. And Jonathan in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Oh, how you doing?
Welcome, Jonathan.
How you doing?
Well.
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to talk to you and find out how do you get involved. And, you know, I would like to get into the program.
Sure.
Hello.
Hi, Jonathan. We'd love to have you. We hold non-residential, and when I say non-residential, I mean people who don't live in the facilities that we run with, so people from around the community. But we hold non-residential orientations every other week. So we have one coming up December 22nd. It's a Tuesday. It's held at Loyola University at 7 p.m. And you can sign up on the website as well. There's a bunch of information there about getting involved in the Baltimore chapter.
What are you saying, Jonathan? I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, she was saying, where was it at again?
Loyola University.
You know where that is?
Columbia?
Nope, the corner of Charles and Cold Spring.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right.
Look forward to seeing you out there.
Is it where it's on the track?
No, it's in the athletics film room.
Thank you, Jonathan.
What's the website?
Our website is www.backonmyfeet.org. And you can click on the Baltimore chapter. You can click on the main chapter link and get information about the program.
So what are the restrictions for people coming in the program? I mean, you said something about, Arnold, there's only so much room.
Generally, we carry about 20 people on a team just because we want to make sure it's balanced and we want to make sure we keep the cohesiveness of the team. So I know it may be a pretty solid roster of 20. Baltimore State, about 15 or so. So we generally take about 20, and so we bring people on every month as long as there's room. And, you know, the really only requirement is to come out and give it your best, you know, work hard and make the commitment to be a part of the team.
So the team also includes you, Lauren, and not just the men in the program, women in the program, but you all are part of the team as well.
Right. All the non-residential members, and I don't think there really is any certain requirement. If you're willing to come out and go to an orientation meeting, meet with the team members and show up at 5:30 in the morning and beyond, then...
But isn't there something about the program where you all have to have been clean for X amount of time or... Before you start running?
For the residential members.
Right, for the residential members. The members on our team that live at McVets. You know, you can't be in, like, First Platoon because they can't, you know. First Platoon has certain restrictions, so, you know, you got to transition to Second, Third, or Fourth Platoon. But after that, if you want to run, if you want to get up 5 in the morning and be out there by 5:30, winter, spring, summer, fall, rain, snow, sleet, or hail, come on out.
So would you run against the Baltimore Station? That would be the competition, or who you run against?
We've done more field day type events against each other. For the most part, when you get out there, you run against yourself. We haven't done too much inner squad competition, although there might be a few in the works in the next few months. But it is nice. You know, we see each other in passing. A lot of the places are fairly close to each other. So it's nice not necessarily to run against people, but to know that there's four other teams that are out there doing the same thing you are.
So, I mean, would there be times when this thing would grow? Like, so you would go, the whole team might go to, like, the Boston Marathon, New York Marathon, and run?
Certainly. Certainly, yeah. I mean, we've the past year or so a lot of our races around Baltimore. But when we do races, when we do big events, you know, we have a big holiday party coming up. We bring the whole team together. And, you know, you can fit about 125 people in a room. And it's pretty amazing to see how big the family is. You know, it's not just the 40 people that come out at McVet, but it's a much bigger network.
I mean, what were we going to say? You look about to say something, Michael.
No, I was going to talk about the females. We have two females at McVets, Marjorie Ivester and Angela Turner. So it's not just for men. There's women.
Right, that's important to know.
Can run there, too. And, you know, as far as the competition, I mean, that would be good to have some kind of track meet competition.
So, it works.
A lot of the men at the station are also vets, and you guys were at McVets. So are most of the people in this program vets?
No. It depends on the team.
Right, at McVets, we're all veterans. Helping up, you know, it might be a few veterans there. I'm not sure about Baltimore Station. I do know several guys at Baltimore Station. This is the type of thing where you get to know a lot of people. You get to meet a lot of people. You know, we got four teams in Baltimore. I'm happy to say that I know all of them. So. Yeah, I love that. I love that about that.
But it is. I mean, there's actually in the city... There is a recovery community that is pretty strong.
Correct. Yeah.
I mean, we always talk about all the people who are, like, strung out in the street. We don't spend enough time talking about the tens of thousands of people in the city who are in recovery and living a different life.
Right. Like the members at Christopher Place, I see them 5 days a week because I attend meetings where they live at. So, you know, it's like a big community. You know, I enjoy seeing them. You know, we always talk about running. So that's a good thing. Whereas before, you know, I always talked about heroin. You know, where's the good heroin at? Now, you know, I tell, what's the best running shoe you can get? You know, that's my conversation now.
Yeah, no, as far as the recovery thing, I was just talking to somebody at school today about it. They said in 1980, Baltimore had 70 NA meetings. And now there's over 700 NA meetings in Baltimore. So there's a lot of people that are in recovery in Baltimore. And it's an anonymous program, Narcotics Anonymous. So
we're not
going to just walk up to somebody and say, hey, my name is Tate. I'm from Narcotics Anonymous. Because, you know, we don't use any promotion. It's attraction rather than promotion. So there's a lot of recovery in Baltimore.
I mean, one of the things I discovered about a lot of my friends, I have a lot of friends who've come back from heroin, alcohol, and other things in my life. And it's amazing the power that comes out of people who have kicked the habit. And the clarity can be frightening without something to fog your mind.
Yeah, I mean, we're addicts, recovering addicts. I'll keep putting that first. And we weren't always drug addicts. We weren't always alcoholics. So we do have some skills, and we do have some smarts. I mean, addicts are smart people. I mean, we're smart. I mean, we had to survive out on the streets all these years and survive incarceration and survive homelessness and hunger. And so the opportunity to get clean, for me, we always talk about ourselves in recovery. For me, you know, they talk about being restored to sanity. And this is an opportunity that I'll never throw away. One day at a time, because, you know, McVett, back on my feet, the program of Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous also.
Right.
They're tools for us to use. I mean, there's nobody putting a gun to my head to use it. It's up to me to either accept it or reject it. And I know the way I used to live, I don't ever want to live that way again. So.
I can't say enough about it, you know. I just thank McVett every day, you know. I went to McVett straight from jail. You know, I got out of jail at 11 in the morning. At 1:30, that same day, I was at McVett. So,
did they know you were coming?
No, they didn't. Nope, I just showed up. Seriously, I just showed up, and I was like, please let me in. And they let me in, and, you know, I'll never forget them, and I'll never look back. You know, I'm going to school to be a radiologist, and, you know, I'm a diesel mechanic by trade, but, you know, I always wanted to be an x-ray tech. And McVett, you know, you can fulfill your dreams. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to do.
What are you going to school for?
I'm going to school for alcohol and drug addiction counseling. So hopefully back on my feet, that when they go nationwide, they can have a program where I can work there.
This is good. I mean, I think that it's, you know, every little niche in the addiction in this community is powerful. It's building on a power and building on itself. I mean, this is a great program. There are lots of really good programs I do and different kinds of things, but this adds to it all. And it's just such a, you know, it's I think we need to hear more stories about the positive aspects coming out of the streets and the stories about people like you all who are willing to work in them and kind of make something happen. So it's been a great honor and pleasure to have the four of you in the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Go to the website, Back on My Feet, backonmyfeet.com. .org. And check it out. We want to thank Jackie Tate, Arnold Shipman, and Lauren Lake for being with us today. One of our Urbanite Radio stories. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Late Don't Wait program. For more information, the number is 1-877-475-7555.